Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. Yes, we are awake. We are loving it. And it is October 21st, 2015. That means Marty McFly is about to arrive.
Oh my God. I kind of needed that today. I'm so tired.
For you, Carrie.
Thank you. You always think of me. It's so sweet.
Yeah, I try. Yes, that's right. It is actually. Our topic is actually Back to the Future Day because it is October 21st, 2015 in Back to the Future number 2. This is our future, and I would totally be wearing like a metal bowl on top of my head because that was part of the fashion for what was supposed to be part of our fashion right now, but it doesn't work with headphones, so couldn't put on the nice metal pot thing. I don't even know what the hell they were thinking of back in the day.
I need to open up a cafe 80s.
Although you are sporting the Marty McPrime shirt.
I am. Thanks to Loot Crate.
Like one of the best shirts that they came out
yes.
with.
Yes. And then look at this.
Oh, hang on. I had to bring up the window. Aw, it's the Back to the Future car.
Yes. And look, the doors. Board. The doors open.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Doors open. Yeah.
Yeah, and for those people that may play in the Rocket League game, today they have the
DeLorean.
DeLorean. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. It really is. And if you go to Microsoft.com and you go up to the search bar at the top and you type in out of time, spelled just like the license plate, you get a little cool little thing.
Oh, nice.
That goes on. It's kind of cool.
I think I saw that USA Today, there's a newspaper that the very front page of it, they basically, because let's face it, this is the only time it will ever be Back to the Future Day, but their whole front page is all dedicated to, like, they wrote up just bullshit articles, like some a mom injures three after like thawing and rehydrating a pizza.
That's awesome. Well, you know, USA Today was like the featured newspaper in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And so that's actually one reason why I am paying attention to the World Series, even though the Astros are out, because this is the first time the Cubs have been in the playoffs since 1910, and they were predicted to win the World Series in Back to the Future. So we could, that would be so awesome to witness.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people talking about all the things that Back to the Future got right as far as our predictions, things like you know, we now have video calling.
Yeah. Although, as I heard on this my sports station today, they're talking about that, like, well, Star Trek had that first 20 years before that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Back to the Future. It's like one of the it's
a classic movie.
It's the one series that I can say, like, all three movies. I mean, the first one was still,
it's the best.
It's still by far the best, yes. But it wasn't like the Matrix movies where it just fell apart as the series went on. It was just, number two was like all kinds of crazy and witty and all that. And then you had number three, which was just, they were just ending it. I mean, at that point, they were just like, yeah, we're done. So, but none of like.
It took me a long time to like two and three. Two, I was just like, really? Like, they keep going back and forth and the parallel dimension type thing. Well, not like parallel dimension, it was alternate timeline, and I didn't really like all that. But the more I watched it, it has grown on me. And the same with three, just because there's so many little things that they have that you can see how the, you know, it plays out throughout the movies. Like, so they've been having Back to the Future on, like, the trilogy on TV a lot. Like on AMC or Sci-Fi has been having it a lot too. I guess Sci-Fi, however you want to pronounce that channel. And so, and every time I see it on, I play it, and my kids actually like it. And it's one of those that I don't know. I guess that it stays relevant because it keeps it with the time period. Like when it's in the 80s, it never tries to make it like this is present. It overdoes the 80s. I almost want to say like the director did that on purpose so that it could stay time period. Like it really kept it, you know, it really made every era be a time period era. So you could watch these whenever. The only problem now is that, you know, you watch the future, it's like, okay, well, that's not really what 2015 is like, but it's still kind of funny to think that, you know, 30 years ago, that's what we thought the possibilities would be. Although I really don't know where the double ties came from. That's pretty crazy. But like, I guess one thing that really hit me, I think I was watching Back to the Future 3, like a million times we were watching it recently. That's where I started with the story before I digressed. And it was the dance that, mm-hmm. and the music they were playing. And I was listening to it, turned to Sean, and I said, is that like, you know, an old-timey version of The Power of Love? And we listened to it, and Sean goes, oh my God, you're right. They did the arrangement of it. For that, it's like they just kept the, and you could hear different arrangements of Huey Lewis and the News songs throughout each different time period, which to me is super cool. That and the other little references, like the whole thing, like, you know, you start out, you're at Twin Pines Mall, and then Marty runs over one of the pine trees when he goes back to the 50s, and when he goes back to the present, it's now Lone Pine Mall. Little things like that are kind of fun.
Yeah, that's fun. There's a, you know, that, and I think Ghostbusters are probably the two biggest movies that come out of the 80s that will probably last for many more decades just because they were, they're so good. I mean, you know, I was, this morning I was looking at like Back to the Future, then it's like, well, what other 80 movies have actually been able to come through, you know, all this time and still be like something that you sit down and you're just like, oh, this is awesome. And I was like, okay, so. You had like the Terminator, and I was like, it's starting to show its age, right? Like, because it's supposed to be in the future, and
Well, the other problem with the Terminator is, unlike Back to the Future or Ghostbusters up until 2 years from now, they keep making movies. You know, it's kind of like Alien. They haven't let it, you know, the original Alien has, you know, kept its, you know, classic legend. But because they keep making Alien movies, and now, you know, they got the whole Prometheus thing, which is like a prequel, but not really a prequel. And I think it's when you just don't let these series die, or just, you know, let them keep what they were. And it's one thing, I forget the name of the director for Back to the Future, but someone asked him if he would remake it or if he would do another movie. And he was like, absolutely not. Like, we told the story. That's it. And I wish more people would have that attitude. Like, I don't know, the guy who wrote Lost or even Star Wars. I know it's blasphemy right now, but, you know, I don't know. I don't understand why Star Wars has to keep on going. Like, why couldn't it just tell a story and be done? Because, and I guess that's just me. I'm afraid. I'm afraid for the franchise that it's going to go to a bad place.
Yeah.
But even in video games, like, you know, why can't some stories just end?
Just die.
Like, well, like Gears of War. You know, Gears of War 3, the grubs are gone. You know, awesome. Let's move on. But no, they're already talking about making another one. And it's like, okay, how are you going to do it after? Are we going to have new enemies to fight? Are you going to do like another prequel? Some stories just need to end.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, the same thing that they're doing with movies. They just need to a good game was a good game back in the day. Let's just let it be. Let's not keep re-drudging it up because it was, you know, whatever, and then put the HD touch to it and call it a day. You know, good games were good back in the day because it was, you know, our memories.
Well, right. You know, I think nostalgia clouds a lot of things. But it's one thing I can't do with Back to the Future movies is that even when I watch them today, I don't go, oh my gosh, that's so cheesy or so corny like I do with so many other things. Like, especially, I know it must speak more blasphemy, but, you know, when I watch the original Star Wars movies now, I like, oh, that was really a corny line. You know, little things. And especially with the early Indiana Jones too. I mean, I love those movies, but some of the things you're like, oh, really? People got away with that. Because nostalgia clouds clouds our judgment. But Back to the Future, I think that it's still, because I think they did so over the top with the time periods, that's why it holds up and that's why it lasts. Like that's my opinion. And it's just one of those, like, you know, my kids love it because they love, you know, going back and forth in time. And, you know, I still get tense at the end of the first Back to the Future. Like, you know, is he going to make it? Now I know.
No, Carrie, that one time you watch it, he's going to miss it. One time he's going to be stuck in the 50s and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, I know.
You're Back to the Future 2 and 3, they're just going to self-delete.
And then he will marry his mom.
Yeah, and then he will marry his mom. He'll have to fight his dad, marry his mom. There's somebody that put out a tweet, and it was, somebody said, it went, we're all celebrating the day that proved that if you go back in time, you find out if your parents think you're hot or not.
All right. Okay.
It's like, that is pretty much kind of true. You did go back in time and you did find out if his mom thought he was hot.
And the weird thing is, like, you know, she has a kid later and she's like, wait a second. He looks a lot like that guy. Oh.
I also saw that, it was yesterday, I saw this on the news, come across Facebook, that Toyota is actually going to release a special Back to the Future edition of their Tacoma. So that way, it doesn't look like the classic 80s. And let's face it, I think every person that was into trucks was like, totally want that truck because it was black and it was lifted.
Marty's truck. Okay. Yeah. Was that a Tacoma?
Yeah.
I don't remember Tacomas ever looking that cool.
I do believe it was a Tacoma, because my grandpa had one. It was blue and it wasn't lifted like Marty's was. But
right.
Yeah, when he comes out of the comes back in time, and Biff hands him the keys. He's like, got all gassed up and shined up, and you see it on the road. And you're like, totally want that truck. I totally have lust for a truck right now. So Toyota is going to supposedly releasing a special Back to the Future edition. It's not the 80s boxy styling, but it is a throwback kind of
right
to that. You know, it's got the, like, the 2 or 3 inch lift, and it's got the tires and all that other jazz. And it's like, still not the black one, but you kind of got me here, Toyota. You kind of got me.
Thinking of trading in Serenity?
Oh, fuck no. What have you got invested in that? Oh, yeah.
But I read an article earlier this year, and I don't know if you knew this because I didn't know this, that the actor that played George McFly in the first movie was actually not in the second. They got a lookalike to do the part, you know, where he's in the future and he's hanging upside down and he has like two lines, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's because the actor, I don't know his name, but he threw a fit after the first Back to the Future movie came out. And it was because he was so angry, and he still protests this to this day. And he tried to sue the director for getting an actor that had his likeness to play the part, and then using old footage from the original movie that had him in it, you know, to splice it in. He was very angry about all that because he was so angry about the ending of the movie. Because his whole thing was, he's like, you know, when the McFly family is poor, they're all miserable and hate each other. But it's when they're rich at the end, they're all happy. To which I took offense to, because I'm like, I don't see it that way at all. I saw it that they were poor because they were miserable. You know, the parents, they were just, you know, she basically, you know, got that nurse's syndrome and fell in love with him, and he never got a backbone. So he never was able to get out of, you know, Biff's thumb, and kind of he never became himself. And so they were miserable. But when they were happy and they really fell in love, like two of them together, and he was able to overcome Biff, he was able to achieve his dream and be a writer, which then he was able to make money, and then they were happy, provide a better life for their kids. That's the way I saw it, was that they were rich because they were happy. Not they were happy because they were rich.
I just saw it as when the movie starts out, I didn't see them as being poor. I saw them as being miserable because the dad didn't have a backbone.
Right.
It's like, I mean, Biff shows up to the house and is like, "You're going to have my reports done tomorrow, right?" And he's like, I don't, and you know, he doesn't have that backbone. But then at the end of the movie, you realize that he grew a backbone because Marty was there to be like, "Yeah, I have a backbone, dude."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he gets that backbone, and that's what changes their life, is because all suddenly he's just like, "I'm going to do my thing."
Right. And even the kids have a different attitude, because you see in the beginning, you know, the son's working at McDonald's, or the older son's working at McDonald's or Burger King or something. And because they're like, well, what motivation does he have to make something of his life when he sees his dad hasn't really done anything? And the girl is, you know, kind of frumpy and doesn't, you know, she's not allowed to do very much because, you know, Lorraine at that time, you know, she's like, you don't call a boy, you don't, you know, hang out with a boy. And so her daughter's not able to do anything. So, but, you know, but when Marty goes back and changes everything, you know, now that George is happy and has become successful, now his older son, I don't remember his older son's name, but he's got motivation now to become successful, and he's working at a business. I don't know why he's still living at home, but he's apparently working at a business, and the daughter is happier. The whole thing about the boyfriends was kind of a weird crack. I never really thought that's a reason to make you happy, but she's more comfortable with being herself, so she's a little more popular because she's not constantly being told you have to be a certain way, be the meek, mild little girl. But so I think that the actor took things, I don't know, maybe a little, I think he memorized it too much. It almost sounds to me like, you know, he had this chip anyway about class warfare and all that stuff. So he just kind of took it a different way. But I mean, I really believe, like, to me, it wasn't about them having money. It was just the fact that they were just so happy. And because they were happy, it's proven that when you are genuinely happy with yourself, you do have a more successful life, whether that is you have lots of things or you have lots of money. That's not exactly true. But when you're happy, you generally carry yourself better, a little prouder, and you will have nicer things, in that you have so much happiness within. So you take care of yourself. You're happier with yourself. It's just one of those correlations, which is why usually when you get, like, I can tell, like, when I get one of my down moods and get all depressed, suddenly the house isn't so clean and, you know, one's really washed and things like that. But when I'm, like, really happy and in a good mood, I'll find myself wanting to actually, I don't know, brush my hair and do something else with the ponytail, for example. And, you know, the house is a little cleaner, things like that. But that went on a really weird turn, but, you know. This is what happens when I am, like, so tired. I'm going on average about 4 hours of sleep a night for the last, I don't know, week. And it's going to continue through next week.
This has been Carrie's Counseling Corner. Please leave your tips at the door.
I'm good.
Yeah, I also found out that apparently, what's her face? Marty's girlfriend. Isn't played by the same actress in the second one either.
Oh, no. I forget. I don't remember who she was in the first one, but she didn't become anything. But Elizabeth Shue took her role in the second and third.
And the local radio station was doing an interview with her this morning, and I have to go onto their website to find
which
it.
One, Elizabeth Shue or the first one?
The first girl. Mm. Gloria, I think, is the actress's name.
Mm.
But I had to start making a camera strap, so then I just put on different music, so I'm not... Anyway, so they were, and one of the DJs was like, "Yeah, I'm totally gonna ask her why she wasn't in the second movie." So I'm hoping that I can listen to that at some point today, just to hear if they actually asked that and find out what it was that made it so she wasn't there.
I'm curious about that too, because I don't know, Elizabeth Shue does not make a good brunette, and you know, she's built differently. I mean, she's And, you know, when you watch, especially when you watch them all back to back, and you watch that first girl and how her hair is naturally brown and how she fits in her outfit and these Elizabeth Shue, and you're like, also, you got to remember that when they filmed this so many years later, Elizabeth Shue's a lot older than that original girl was. So she's not going to look exactly the same, because you can even see the aging differences in Michael J. Fox as well. But I mean, to me, it was so obvious. Like, yeah, no, Elizabeth Shue does. I mean, I know she was very popular for 80s movies and comedies and things like that, but she's not a good brunette. So it never looked right. But you know, but then again, they didn't really have her in the movie very much. They knock her out quite early. And then she's, you know, kind of awake in the house. She runs into her future self and passes right back out again. And then they dump her on the front porch, and you never see her again till the very end of Back to the Future 3.
Yeah. Oh, Back to the Future 3. Time travel and train.
Kind of a cool idea.
That's like a steampunk.
Oh yeah,
starting right there, all the little spinny.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's very steampunkish. I mean, you don't have all the weird gears, and it's not all just like brass and copper all over the place. But I think if you go look at it from the standpoint of like steampunk hadn't really kind of taken off at that point, and that's kind of like the starting. This is just how I saw the train.
I could see it. I could see that have been the starting point for steampunk.
Yeah. My father-in-law that's like the best part of that whole series for him is when that train shows up, because he's a train fanatic. So, like, but it's so sad to see the DeLorean just be
destroyed.
Just destroyed. That was like the most heartbreaking thing to watch, because you're like, it's a cool looking car and it's got all the cool shit on it, and then they just destroy it at the end.
All right, but that particular DeLorean, if you assume it's the same one that they used the entire time, which no, I think they had many of them, because it's actually kind of cool to find out how they got a DeLorean in the first place. Do you know this story? The reason why they used a DeLorean was because DMC had already gone under, so they were able to get a shit ton on the cheap. And so they even make fun of it, you know, at the very beginning. Marty's like, a DeLorean?
Like, oh, yeah.
Because it was known as for being a crap car. And so they were able to get a ton of them, because they obviously wrecked the shit out of them. And then literally, you know, ran one over with the train. But yeah, that is why they used a DeLorean over any other car, was because they were able to get them on the cheap.
You know what? And that has become like the iconic 80s car, other than maybe Kit from...
From Knight Rider?
Yeah. But, I mean, the only other car that I can think of that is probably more iconic than the DeLorean would be the General Lee.
Okay. I agree.
It's just like, you see those two cars it just anywhere, and you're just like, oh yeah, the General Lee. I know the horn sound.
Right? I mean, I do admit that I get excited when I see a DeLorean.
Oh, I do too. It's like, I understand that they were shit cars and they're heavy. And I did find out that DMC actually still has so many parts left over that you can still buy parts. So you can actually assemble your own DeLorean if you wanted to, and just buy all good DMC parts, because they still have it. And I think I read at one point they had reopened back up because there was such a demand for it, that they had reopened back up and started stamping new parts again. But yeah,
that's kind of funny, because that movie, if they were still in business when that movie came out, that movie would have saved them.
Oh yeah, it would totally. Because let's face it, every time you see a DeLorean, you're like, is there a Mr. Fusion on the back of that?
Right?
No, Mr. Fusion. And then, you know, you got the flux capacitor now. Everybody knows what the fuck a flux capacitor is.
Dude, I have one in my car.
Even Ford has a thing, like, if you're scrolling through Instagram, how they now have those stupid sponsored ads.
Yeah.
You'll scroll through it, all of a sudden there's one for Ford, and it's like, beef up your car with a flux capacitor, and it's sitting right in the center console, and you're like, is this like an option I can buy? Can I just replace my center console with like a flux capacitor and just give me like a nice 1980s date? Boards, so I can start putting in different dates and pretend like I'm doing something.
Okay, that would be pretty cool, because the flux capacitor I have is a phone charger that I got off of ThinkGeek, and it does light up when you first turn the car on, and you can have it like flash if you want. I usually have it turned off, but But yeah, but that would be kind of cool to have the whole console kind of like that.
There's a part of me that every once in a while thinks, you know what, I could run some rope lighting along my truck and just pretend like it's a DeLorean. That movie has created so much. Look, you had Nike do like the self-lacing shoes.
Right.
And those are a thing. And people are still asking where the fuck their hoverboards are. People still want hoverboards.
Pepsi donated a lot of money to that movie too.
Oh, Pepsi has their throwback one. Or their Back to the Future one. I heard that was it's been a terrible release though. Like they're having problems.
A shocker.
I forget, but it was like a very limited thing too. Yeah. Like you could buy the Pepsi bottle from Back to the Future too.
I think one of the funniest memes I've seen today was a writer from Polygon tweeted a picture of when old Biff is giving the sports almanac to young Biff, and the caption instead was changed to, okay, listen, Butthead. On October 21st, 2015, I need you to start a company called DraftKings.
Oh, that movie just...
Oh, and in an interview I heard years ago on a radio station with the actor who plays Biff, he's a stand-up comedian. And he travels a lot. And he said that when he goes to Japan, he'll hear like rapid Japanese and Biff! Everyone's in their party at him.
Oh, man. Our childhood.
He did say that character's probably one of the most fun characters he's ever played. I mean, because he pretty much like in all generations of Biff, he played the same character, but he had fun doing it.
Oh, they had him on this morning on the radio, and he has this. He wrote like a jingle.
Oh yeah,
being Biff, and he's like, yeah, don't ask me that question. He's like, no, it's not real manure. I didn't talk. Directors do what directors do. Don't ask me that question. It was hilarious. It was just like, okay, yeah, this is. He was a riot on the radio this morning.
Of course, it wasn't real manure. I mean, come on, that's too nasty. Especially like the second movie where he actually pulls it out of his mouth. I mean, come seriously.
Oh, that was. Let's face it. That movie gave us so much. We all know that it takes 88 miles an hour to go to start time travel.
I still talk about 88 miles an hour. You know.
I know that. Roads where we're going, we don't need roads.
Right?
That has been translated so many times into so many different things. And I know that we still use it. We used it in like the Evil Cast or Out Times, and just like it's just something that's never gone away. Just
yeah, I mean, I have a Lego Back to the Future DeLorean, and I have my Funko Pops. They're down there that have the DeLorean and Marty and Doc. I mean, I'm gonna on Lego Dimensions. I am going to buy the team pack, or is it, I think it's the fun pack. Fuck if I know. Of the Doc with the train. Mm-hmm. I'm so gonna get that, and you know, when I play the Back to Future level, I'll have all that with me. You know, just yeah, I do have a strong tie to that movie. I think we all do that grew up in that time. And even my parents liked that movie. And that says a lot, because my parents were not big 80s movies fans. Because seriously, there was a lot of crap movies that came out in the 80s. Like, they still hate Gremlins, but my dad still loves Ghostbusters. You know, when I went with my family to New York, every time we saw a building that we recognized from Ghostbusters movie, Dad and I would start doing a quote off from Ghostbusters. And like, they don't watch Back to the Future as much, but like one time they were in town and there was a marathon on and I watched it, and my dad sat down and watched the whole thing. He's like, I forgot how great these movies were.
Yeah. Funny thing about Ghostbusters, I was in New York last year, stopped by the Ghostbusters building. It's cool. They have a nice little, you know, thing on the ground about it being Ghostbusters. But then you're like, Ghostbusters. Yeah. Awesome. And then you see this other plaque up on the side of the building, you're like, Ghostbusters, what's this about? Oh, these are all the people that died in 9/11. Suddenly
it's a downer.
Suddenly I don't even know how to process this, but yeah. I think that, like, if you go to New York, that's like a pilgrimage. You gotta go to the Ghostbusters firehouse.
And you, well, actually, we did not. We never made it over there, mainly because that area was still roped off because of the Ground Zero was still being reconstructed, so we couldn't go that part of it. But we did go to the library, and I ran up to the lions, you know.
Did you go to the basement and start flicking shit out of the card catalogs?
No, but Dad did chase me yelling, "Get her!"
And for you young kids, card catalogs was Google back in the day.
I remember taking classes in elementary school on how to use a card catalog. Yes.
And then how to actually find the book in the library using the Dewey Decimal System.
Yes. Yes. I can still use the Dewey Decimal System. It still makes sense to me.
Still, me too. Me too. I can still use a fucking card catalog too.
Oh, yeah.
The things that you never forget.
When the overlords take over and we lose the internet, we will be the only people who can find a book in the library.
Oh, it's so good. Man, you know.
But we could talk about this for days, I'm sure.
Oh, we definitely could, because it is the fact that it still stands up, the fact that people are still watching it today, the fact that people are still like, oh yeah, we're raising our kids. And they're going to watch this movie because it was awesome. And then the kids like it. And it just.
Oh, and you know, I have to say, the special effects aren't that 80s cheesy. You know, like some of the lightning and stuff, okay, a little bit. But it's not like go watch the original Clash of the Titans, okay? You know, it's not. Or even like the original Star Wars. It's not like that. It's pretty. I mean, I think it's mainly because of. Almost for what they did with Mad Max, there wasn't a lot of special effects done. It was
right they
stuff.
Were, it's
yeah,
stuff happening. If they're blowing something up, it's really blowing up. It's
right.
CG'd.
Yeah, they did run over the DeLorean with the train.
Why do you have to bring that up, Carrie?
I'm just saying.
I just told you how many feels I have at that moment when I watched the DeLorean just in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to keep. Putting the salt in that wound, don't you? You're just like,
well, it's like, you know, in a Return of Jabba's airship, mm-hmm. That was actually built. It took them, I remember watching it behind the scenes, it took them 4 years to build that. And they did blow it up. And the stage crew bawled because that's, you know, they know that's what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But they were so proud of it because it was, you know, nothing. When Star Wars came out, nothing had been done like that before. So they'd spent all this time doing it just for it to, just for them to watch it go kaboom.
Sadness. Carrie, you've drugged me down enough. You've hurt me.
They still have plenty of DeLoreans. Like, it's not as though they destroyed every single one of them when they were done with that movie.
They destroyed that one. When I was a child, that was the only DeLorean. It was gone.
But that thing was on its last leg, man. I mean, they basically gutted it.
All DeLoreans are on their last leg. What are you talking about? The only thing that doesn't go on those is the body, because they're stainless steel. They just don't rot.
But they really gutted this one because, you know, they couldn't fit gas anymore. They took off the tires, put those rail wheels. The thing did not run. It was.
But it had Mr. Fusion.
I mean, when Marty got back to the 1980s, all you have to do is like push it over and he probably would have fallen apart. It's all he wanted to do to destroy it.
Oh, man, such a good series. You know, and I could definitely see where they could, I mean, they definitely left it open. They could definitely do another one, but I'm glad that they're not going to do it because I'd rather not see what Doc Brown does in his adventures in the train. I'd rather just know that he's off having adventures with his kids and his wife, and Marty is depressed. Hopefully they get to see each other from time to time.
I don't know
where the fuck you're going to park a train, but I guess whatever.
Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
Well, if you watch the, the train flies too, remember? Yeah. So
I don't know, they went to the future and like beefed up the train so that way it could fly. And I was like, why didn't you just like get a minivan or something, you know? Just
no way, it's a train. Don't you remember the scene where they hijack the train and he pulls the wheels? He's like, I wanted to do that my entire life. Which I think every kid can
attest to.
Yes, I mean, I would love to go up to like a real train and do that. I don't mean like the DART train that's in Dallas. I mean like a real steam engine train, which we do have one in Texas. It's like a little touristy train that runs back and forth because, you know, they are pollution hogs, to say the least.
But, all right, Carrie.
Yes.
Take us at 88 miles an hour to your home or to your what you've been playing.
Well, that's going to be brief because I can't talk about any of it.
And good games, Carrie.
Yeah, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate and Halo 5 Guardians, and yeah, can't talk about either of them.
So, are you at least hitting people in the kneecaps with a cane?
Oh, there is so much cane smacking going on.
So you at least got the one part out of that game you wanted so bad.
So much cane smacking. And I was telling Udrash that so I'm kind of picking back up where what I did with Unity, that just walking down the street, and when anybody in the opposing gang like, do you want some of this? Like, they'll seriously come up to you and they'll just, like, puffing out their chest and they'll literally do this. I just walk up to them, stab them in the chest, and keep on going. And but if there's police around, you know, the police will attack you. But my gang has gotten so big that the police attack me. My gang comes out of nowhere and beats up on the police, and I just keep on walking. Look at my strut. I own this town.
Carrie, I do believe you have a little Vlad the Heartless in you when it comes to Assassin's Creed.
Oh, hi, Toby. I don't kill civilians.
Oh, just, well, you know, then we're done.
Really, I wouldn't kill these people if they just kept to themselves. Like, if they, you know, but they're the ones who come in out. Like, I walk by, and they're like, yeah, you keep on walking. Do you want some of this? I'm like, yeah, I do. All right, later.
Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Carrie loves it because you can stab people and hit people with canes.
Cane smacking for the win. Plus, Jacob has a top, and you get certain outfits. He wears a top hat. I mean, how awesome is that? He'll take off the top hat, beat someone to death with the cane, and then put it back on and adjusts it and smiles and walks away. It's great.
Oh, Carrie.
I know.
Before we get you to diverge anymore, we should probably cut you off.
I don't. That's not really spoiling anything. Everybody's known about the cane smacking, the top hat.
Top hat's for the win.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Toby.
Well, my list is also relatively small because it's mostly stuff I've already talked about. Doing more Elite Dangerous, did some more Brutal Doom. Game is still just that mod, just a total, just badass. Just pick up Doom on Steam when it's on sale for like $2. You get like everything, and then just get Brutal Doom. It's a free download. Put it in there. Away you go.
Is it a mod? Is that what you said? It's a mod.
Yeah, it's a mod. So you need like a third party. Application to run the mod, because then it puts the two together. But yeah, the mod is free, and it, from what I can tell, it's totally legit. So that's why I did that. And then got back into World of Warcraft again, like the 80th time. So playing that. Just re-rolled the new character. I just use it to fuck around. I play for like maybe an hour and a half at the most. But it's fun. I only got into it because like 2 weeks ago I was outside checking stuff out on the house, and my neighbor was outside, and we started talking about it. And like Megan was talking about wanting to play with her friends again. And so, you know, it was like that little seed. Just come back for a little bit. So I'll probably play it for about another week and a half, and then I'll be bored of it again, and that'll be the last you'll ever hear of WoW.
Yeah, but then Fallout 4 will come out, and, you know.
Yeah, and Halo 5 is, I think, next week, and I'm just like, I got Tales to start working on, but we don't have the guide yet, so I'm holding off on that, because I know that if I get it now, I'll just fucking play it, and just then I'll just be like reading the guide. I'll be like, yeah, I did that. Oh, I gotta do that. So, holding off on that. Something else too, but anyway, I forget. And with that, Carrie,
I will say Halo 5, because I can talk about the first three missions. You will like it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Is there opportunity for Vlad the Heartless to come in?
Do it's I get not, to... It's not an RPG, dude.
It doesn't matter. You can have a shooter where like it's just you get a choice.
Long no, live, long die. I don't think there's choices. I've only got to play like one mission, and then Assassin's Creed came in. I was like, fuck. So hi Toby.
Oh. Is there like a NDA on for streaming that?
For Halo?
Yeah.
You can only stream the first three missions.
I haven't, because on Twitch I haven't seen anybody playing it, so I was like, this is really odd to me that there's
a lot of people did on the day that the code dropped, which was last Tuesday.
Yeah, well,
It was last Thursday. And so I know people who like immediately sat and streamed like the first three missions, but I don't think that takes very long. And that's mainly because there's so much. I've said this before, but like with Halo 5, since Halo 3 came out, there's been so much going on in the extended universe. There are a lot of pieces in play that's going on. Mm-hmm. And all of that, for myself from the first mission, I'm like, oh, holy shit, this is really all coming together. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of moving parts. And as such, there's a lot of spoilers. At least I'm very appreciative of, the review guide I got, because companies will send you review guides. I know the review guide is not, you must say this about my game. It's usually embargo information, stuff they don't want you to spoil. And all that they said was, you can talk about the first three missions in detail story-wise, but that's it. And whereas, because they just don't want people spoiling the story. Whereas, I can't show this, but my review guide, I can show this much. My review guide for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, there's a page in here that says, we don't want these spoilers mentioned, and they actually list the spoilers. I'm like, thanks a lot, assholes.
Oh, that is some... Well, guess you know who dies in the end.
Well, I know a piece of it anyway, but there was one thing on there that I had read and I was like, huh, I wonder if that what that means. And then when I met this character, I'm like, oh, see, I already know now that this character is a traitor, you know, it makes it hard to enjoy the story and talk about, you know, how, well, this is a story written when you already know everything. It's like all they had to say was, you know, only talk about the story. And like, don't mention the story. Don't mention the big twist that happened in sequence. This and this and this. It's all that they had to say. But no, they actually listed out. But in other news, check out my very pretty Halo 5 controller.
See that?
I know.
I saw that there's a Fallout one too.
Yes, but it's wired.
Hey, that's wired, not wired. Did you see it? It looks really pretty.
Yeah, it does look pretty. And I feel guilty for getting the Spartan Lock one. But it's blue, and blue's kind of my color. So I'll get a Master Chief one later.
Yeah, it's like the Master Chief one is what, gold and green?
It's the fatigues.
Yeah.
Green.
Oh, fucking accessories.
I know, I wonder why I don't have money, and then I look around my office, I'm like, oh right.
$60, $70, $70.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got my collector's edition of Assassin's Creed Syndicate. No, I did not cancel. That's crazy talk. You know, coming Friday. And then I remembered, oh, right. I did pre-order the new 3DS with Triforce Heroes, which is coming on Friday. And, you know, then there's the Fallout Pip-Boy edition, which that's back in stock, by the way.
Is it?
Yes. Back in the stock in the Bethesda store.
I'm still debating on if I can... I'm probably sure I can't at this point, but I was like, man, you should probably try to get that Zelda 3DS. Pretty sure I'm going to be screwed out of that one, though.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. At least I haven't, you know, I haven't... Everyone's asked if I've gotten the collector's edition for... of course, in the collector's edition for Halo 5 is out next week. And at least I did not pre-order the one for Tomb Raider because I'm not interested. Like, oh, it's a statue. Okay. I was like, oh, but there's a necklace. I'm like, yeah, I got that necklace actually with the collector's edition Tomb Raider strategy guide from last Tomb Raider came with that necklace. So I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, Carrie.
Yeah, we need to go.
It's time to Mr. Fusionist ourselves up out of here.
load this garbage up and send it on out. That's kind of what I feel like today. You can leave a comment on this post, but please do not tell me that I'm annoying. I did get that comment on my vidcast at a for Action Trip. Like, the comment today, my first one I got this morning was, that girl is really annoying. Like, that helps my self-esteem, you asshole. But then I remember, you know what? If that's all that they have is to start a comment to be negative, then that's sad. Of course, as my boss put it, it's like YouTube is the pit, the human cesspit for commenting.
Yes, yes, it is.
But if you want to comment on this post and have something nice to say, or if you want us to talk about something in particular, please do so. You can also email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Crunchy Chocobo. Chris is at Starvin, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. We will be having actual Strategy Guide reviews up very soon because Chris has got Tales of Hysteria. I got Assassin's Creed coming, and then Halo 5, and then Chris will have Fallout 4. We got all kinds of goodness. We hope it's goodness. We hope it's goodness coming out. And with that, we ask that you keep on reading SGR.
And today, everybody should go spend at least an hour, watch at least Back to the Future 1. If you do nothing else today, just watch Back to the Future 1. Call it a day. It's all good.
There are several cable channels that are running it all day today. All three, all day.
That is your thing. And it won't matter because this won't release until tomorrow. But anyway, we're out. Peace!